Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. Oh, the Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and keep you. Has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We are here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because if we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your sister. Go wake up your brother. Go wake up your mommy. Go wake up your daddy. Go wake up your grandmama and your granddaughter and your granddaddy and grandson. Wake them all up this morning and let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. We on the air, beaming the love of God from Dallas-Fort Worth area throughout the known world. Good morning, good morning. Get out the bed, sleepy head. Get out the bed, sleepy head. Let me go get my roosters this morning. Let me go get my roosters this morning. Listen, take that cell phone, that smartphone, whatever you're listening to the radio on, go take it and put it right next to that person that's in that bed that won't get up, and let them hear these roosters. Let them hear, I got three roosters, Benny, Red, and Crow. Let them hear Benny, Red, and Crow this morning and wake them up. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. I'm trying to help you to wake them up. This is the plan. This is the plan. All right. Benny, Red, and Crow. Thank you, Red. Thank y'all. But I got to go right now. I got to go. Let me go get this song right quick. Let me go get a good song. This is an old song by Troy Raymond. Troy Raymond this morning. And the Soul Stirrers. Picked out to be picked on. That's the Troy Raymonds, and I said the Soul Stirrers, but it's the Soul Searchers. It's the Soul Searchers. Troy Raymonds and the Soul Searchers. All right, I've been picked out to be picked on. Oh, my Lord. That's your song for today. That's your song for today. I've been picked out to be picked on. All right, it's time to read the Bible. It's time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. Go get your Bible. We'll be reading this morning out of Mark chapter 6 and Mark chapter 7 and through Mark chapter 8. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed.
Where did this man get these things?
They asked.
What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing?
Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?
And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them,
only in their own towns, among their relatives, and in their own homes are prophets without honor.
He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions.
Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them.
They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying,
John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him.
Others said,
he is Elijah.
And still others claimed,
he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago.
But when Herod heard this, he said,
John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead.
For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod,
it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.
So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled that he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl,
ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you.
And he promised her with an oath,
Whatever you ask, I will give you. Up to half my kingdom.
She went out and said to her mother,
What shall I ask for?
The head of John the Baptist.
She answered. At once the girl hurried in to the king with a request.
I want you to give me, right now, the head of John the Baptist on a platter.
The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went. They headed John in the prison and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them,
Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and to get some rest.
So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him.
This is a remote place, and it's already very late.
Send the people away, so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.
But he answered,
You give them something to eat.
They said to him,
That would take almost a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?
How many loaves do you have?
He asked.
Go and see.
When they found out, they said,
Five and two fish.
Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly, before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said,
Take courage.
Don't be afraid.
Then he climbed into the boat with them as the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?
He replied,
Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions.
And he continued,
you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban,
that is, devoted to God,
then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that.
Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said,
listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside you can defile you by going into you. Rather, it is what comes out of you that defiles you.
After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable.
Are you so dull?
He asked.
Don't you see that nothing that enters you from the outside can defile you? For it doesn't go into your heart, but into your stomach, and then out of your body.
In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on.
What comes out of you is what defiles you. For from within, out of your hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile you.
Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter.
First, let the children eat all they want. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs.
Oh, Lord. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.
Then he told her,
for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter.
She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him,
Hey, Father!
Which means, be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement.
He has done everything well,
they said.
He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.
During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said,
I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance.
His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?
How many loaves do you have?
Jesus asked.
7.
They replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well.
he gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said,
"Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it."
Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for 1 loaf they had with them in the boat.
"Be careful,"
Jesus warned them.
"Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod."
They discussed this with one another and said,
"It is because we have no bread."
Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them,
"Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?"
12,
they replied.
"And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?"
They answered,
7.
He said to them,
"Do you still not understand?"
They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked,
"Do you see anything?"
He looked up and said,
I see people. They look like trees walking around."
Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying,
"Don't even go into the village."
Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them,
"Who do people say I am?"
They replied,
"Some say John the Baptist.
Others say Elijah.
And still others, one of the prophets."
"But what about you?"
he asked.
"Who do you say I am?"
Peter answered,
"You are the Messiah."
Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter.
"Get behind me, Satan,"
he said.
"You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns."
Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said,
"Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for you to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? If any of you are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
All right, that's our scripture reading for today. That's Mark chapter 6 through chapter 8. Mark chapter 6 through chapter 8. May God bless those who have read and who have heard his holy word. All right, y'all. It's prayer time. Come on, y'all. Let's gather around the altar. And let's pray. Let's hold hands, y'all. Come on, children. Come on, brother, sister, niece, nephew, mama, daddy, grandmama, granddaughter. Come on, y'all. Let's hold hands. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for a wonderful day. Another wonderful week, Lord. You have brought us a mighty long way. You brought us all the way from Monday all the way to Friday. And we thank you, dear God. Now, Lord, as we get ready for this weekend, Lord, we ask that you'll just be with the preparations of our churches in a mighty way, Lord. Be with the cleaning crew as they're coming in tomorrow to get things ready, the setup crew at the churches, Lord. Be with the setup crew, the decorating committee, whoever's going to come and get things set up. And Lord, we even pray for the communion, dear God, the Holy Communion, those that's going to be setting up the Holy Communion. Oh, dear God, Lord, we just pray for your people in a mighty, mighty way, dear God. Lord, we just pray for the preachers, dear God, and the teachers, dear God, as they're going to preach and teach your holy word. Lord, put your holy word in them, dear God, that they can preach right and teach right, dear God, and serve right. Lord, we pray for every ministry in the church, dear God. We pray, dear God, for the parking lot committee, dear God. We pray, dear God, for the greeters. We pray for the ushers, dear God. We pray for the preachers and the deacons and the trustees, oh God. Lord, we pray for the choir, those that's going to be ministering your songs, dear God, whether it's a choir praise team, whether it's a band, dear God, we just pray for those that's going to be leading worship in song, dear God. Lord, we ask that you will clean them up, dear God, and fill them up with your Holy Spirit, dear God, that, Lord, people can even be getting set free, dear God, through their anointing songs, dear God, through that anointing singing, dear God. Lord, we pray the same thing for the preaching, dear God, that people can be set free through the anointing preaching, dear God, of your holy and righteous word. Lord, we ask you'll bring that prodigal son, that prodigal daughter, that prodigal husband. We pray that you'll bring them back to church, dear God. And then, dear God, now be with us the rest of the day. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do, so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. We done sung our song. We done had our prayer. We done had our scripture this morning. Clock on the wall is saying that's all for this portion of In Your Corner. Thank you so kindly for getting out to bed with us early this morning. Thank you so kindly. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready now to get that good sermon on for you. So you stay tuned for that good sermon, all right? Then at 7 o'clock, I'll be back again with Ghostbusters, because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood. Somebody needs to say something about it. So listen to us all day long, because we are in your corner.